Hi folks, this is Bob Main, and welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. This is episode number 309, to be exact. It's a practical show done by a practical guy like me, because as I've mentioned several times, I'm not ex-military or ex-law enforcement or a gunsmith or anything like that. Just an ordinary guy that takes my self-protection very seriously, and I do a little firearms training on the side because I've been able to grow this hobby and my knowledge base and things like that, but I don't know everything. All I do is I try to share my journey with you. Having said that, you know, let me go ahead and give you a little update on me first and my situation and what's going on, and then I've got some SHOT Show information for you, courtesy of Paul Lathrop of the Paul Lathrop of the Polite Society podcast. Paul's a great guy. You need to listen to that show, the Polite Society podcast, if you don't already listen to it. But anyway, I'm recording this on Monday, February 2nd, and most of you know that I've been battling cancer for a long time, and I just had a stem cell transplant. I'm not going to go into what all that is. You can look that up if you want. But I am being discharged today. So I've been in the hospital for 3 weeks, folks. Man, I tell you what. That's a long time to be in the hospital. And I went through some very, very rough days for about a week and a half. It was rough. But I made it. I'm being discharged today. And it's certainly not over. Plenty of follow-ups, plenty of visits, plenty of recovery. I have plenty of recovery ahead of me. I got a long way to go. But I think this is going to be my best chance to beat this cancer once and for all. And I got a strong will to live, and I am motivated. I'm not going to say I don't have bad days, because like I said, I just recently had almost 10 bad days, and it wasn't much fun. But I got a family, I got a wife suffering a major illness right now as well, and a great son who we're trying to keep him positive and raise him, so I got a lot to live for, plus my job and talking to you guys. How's that? All right, there's a little update on me, and I'll keep you posted going forward. Now, I wasn't able, because of the last 3 weeks, I wasn't able to put a whole lot together for the show. But there is some good, cool information I want you to listen to that's courtesy of Paul Lathrop. Paul sent me an email message, wanted to know if I wanted some help. Paul attended the SHOT Show, and he got some good updates from some gun manufacturers that I'm going to play for you. Speaking of SHOT Show, it's my goal to get there in 2016. I want to do that. I have never been to SHOT Show. I think it'd be pretty cool. This is a tough time of the year for me to try to get away. You know, they always have SHOT Show in what, second or third week in January, something like that. But I'm going to do the best I can to get out there next year and really put together some cool stuff. But anyway, here's some new product updates. So, again, courtesy of Paul Lathrop at the Polite Society podcast, let's first of all listen to a new product update from Glock.
Here at SHOT Show on Wednesday, we're at the Glock booth. We're talking with Key. She's with Glock. Key, what we want to know right now, what's new with Glock? I see you released three new pistols, right?
Actually, we have made some conversions of three of our legacy pistols, and we've introduced a new pistol.
Okay.
So, the two big things are that we have the MOS system, the MOS platform, which is modular optics system, and we've put this on the G34 Gen 4, G35 Gen 4, G41 Gen 4. These are long slide pistols, and what this allows you to do is to mount optics of your choice onto the slide. So it comes with four adapter plates, and it fits all of the popular, most trusted sights on the market, Leupold Delta Point or Trigicon, what have you. So it's really nice, adds a lot of versatility to the pistol. What's great about the modular optics system is that it's been made popular by competitive shooters. However, we're seeing it become very popular with law enforcement for obvious reasons. They're able to acquire their target more quickly and more accurately with the red dot reflex sights. Also with new shooters, because the traditional iron sights aren't necessarily intuitive. You have to have a trained eye, and of course we encourage everybody to train with their pistols and all of that. That's all still necessary, but these optic systems allow you to acquire your target a lot quicker, and it's a lot more intuitive.
Cool.
Now, the other pistol that we've introduced is a new 10mm. It's the largest pistol that we have ever come out with, and it's called the G40 in MOS configuration. It is a Gen 4 pistol. It has a 6-inch barrel, an 8-inch slide, so it's also a long-barreled pistol, one of the long slides. And we had the opportunity to show it to the media on range day, and everybody had a blast with it. It's got a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. And I love the one I fired also had the Trigicon on it. And
yes.
Oh, man, that thing is... It was fun to shoot, and I wouldn't have a problem taking that into the Alaskan wilderness.
Right, and you know, we call it the hunter because their handgun hunting is still really popular. It's a lot of power, so you can, you know, hunt feral hogs, Russian boar, white-tailed deer, and also it's a great pistol to take if you're going backpacking, camping as a backup, you know, just for safety.
Awesome. And I hate to drop this on you, but the one question I get all the time, when is Glock coming out with a single stack 9? That's still in the pipeline, right?
You know, we've had that question for the last 10 years. We know it's highly desired, and it's always something that, you know, we've got in the back of our minds as well. We know that people want it.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking your time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Okay, Paul. Well, thanks for getting that info from the Glock rep. Interesting stuff there, huh? First of all, a modular optic system. Well, see, Glock's finally getting in on the party here. You know, Smith & Wesson came out with their pistols out of the box. They've got a series of pistols where you can put your choice of red dot sight on top of the pistol. Now, let me talk a little bit about red dot sights on top of a pistol. Very popular, very useful, awesome. Once you get used to it, you probably can acquire your target a lot faster than you can with iron sights if you're using sighted fire. Now, you know, me, I've practiced so much with iron sights, I would have to relearn everything with red dot sights. And it is one of my goals to actually put a red dot on top of one of my Glock pistols here pretty soon and start getting good at using it. The Trigicon RMRs are probably the leaders out there and probably the best out there right now. I would also encourage you to check out what Suarez International does. Suarez International, the TSD Combat Systems Division of Suarez International, they've been milling slides and dropping Trigicon RMRs on their slides for a long time. And I don't say this just because I'm an instructor for them. I have seen their work. Gabe's got just a great staff that really knows how to properly and very efficiently put a red dot Trigicon RMR or almost any kind of red dot system on top of a Glock pistol. Now, one of the things that you also have to remember is you've got to have the right kind of sights on there, right kind of backup irons. You got to be real careful. I haven't checked out Glocks yet, but I've heard some feedback that they didn't quite get it right with their backup sights for their modular system. So I know that Suarez International definitely has it right because I've seen the performance of these pistols firsthand in classes that I've taught. So check out their website, onesourcetactical.com. OneSourceTactical.com or SuarezInternational.com. Now, I want to make a comment about their new G40, the new 10mm. Wow, what a beast, huh? Now, that is something I think I got to put on my list to get in the future, a long slide 10mm. Now, that is cool. I looked at a picture of it and looked it up on the Glock website. Pretty cool stuff. You know, I'm wondering something about this new long slide 10mm. I wonder if that's going to be Ted Nugent's new carry pistol. What do you think? All right. Next, let's hear some updates, SHOT Show updates from Springfield XD.
We're back at SHOT Show on Wednesday. We're at Springfield's booth. We're looking at XDs. We're with Don with Springfield. Don, looks like a lot of new stuff that Springfield has in the XD line. What's new for this year?
Yeah, we do have a lot of new products. We have our XD Mod 2, which we just released at the end of 2014, so some brand new releases for this year. We have the XD Mod 2 with the grip zone. We're doing it in a 9 and a 40 caliber. Just released this weekend the 45 caliber also, and we have them in the black and the bitones. And this is basically our XD line, so all you lovers out there that know the XDs and love them, this is the new improved version. So we have the grip zone, which on it you have different textures to help you get a better grasp on the gun. We've tapered the slide down, make it a little more ergonomical. Slide serrations, we deepened those, put some target sights with the red fiber optic on front. So some really nice new things to an old standard line of XD.
Very cool, very cool. I also notice you have some good-looking 1911s over there.
Yeah, we have a couple new versions of 1911s. We have taken our original Marine Corps operator. We put some new G10 sharp-looking grips on it, scalloped the front checkering on the front strap, and then we did the same version, which is usually a black slide with an OD green frame. We've done it in a solid black version, and we have put an extended magwell on it, so some nice new-looking 1911s.
Awesome. Some great-looking guns. Thanks for taking your time to talk to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, now the XD Mod 2 with their new grip zone. I've heard some good things about that. I've yet to handle or shoot one of those pistols. What really intrigued me about that little segment was that they've come out with that little gun now in 45 caliber. Now, you know, I got plenty of 9mm, but that would be kind of a cool little gun if I felt like carrying a 45. And every once in a while, I do get that 45 itch. How about you? Any of you listening, do you ever get the 45 itch? You know, it's like, man, it's got to have a 45. You know, America's caliber. But that XD Mod 2, that little gun in 45, that is kind of intriguing. I'm sure it's fantastic in 9mm and 40 as well. I've heard nothing but great things about the feel of that grip. So that grip zone, I've seen. You have to look it up and check out a picture of that. It's pretty good. Looks pretty cool. Pretty well designed. And I like the fact that she said they've also tapered the slide a little bit. You know, one thing about Glocks, XDs, and some of the M&P pistols is they do have wide slides. And from a concealment standpoint, tapering the slide is a real big deal. So, you know, as well as the length of the grip is also another big deal. So that was a cool segment. I'm not much interested in their new 1911s. You know, 1911s are 1911s. I'm sorry if I offended you 1911 fans, but that's kind of my opinion on it. All right, here comes another segment from Smith & Wesson M&P. Let's hear about what's new from Smith & Wesson.
We're at SHOT Show on Wednesday. We're at Smith & Wesson. We're talking M&P pistols. We are with Jeff here, Puckett. And what's new with the M&P line, huh?
Well, we got a couple of different finishes or colors with the M&P this year. Previously, we only offered the flat dark earth finish on the VTAC model and the M&P 45. But this year, it's going to be available in the M&P 9, the M&P 40, and also in the M&P 9 and 40 compact as well.
Okay.
We've also going to offer the M&P in a carbon fiber wrap.
That is a sharp look.
Isn't it? In the 40, the 9, and also the 9 and 40 compact as well.
Okay.
Also, we brought back this year a threaded barrel kit with the M&P.
Okay.
So when the consumer buys a new M&P, if he chooses the threaded barrel kit, he gets two barrels, a threaded barrel and a non-threaded barrel, and it only adds about $100 on the cost of the gun, and you get two barrels.
Wow. And there's a lot of people putting suppressors.
Yes.
On the gun, so that did for $100, you got a spare barrel.
Yeah, you can't buy a barrel that cheap out on the street for that.
Awesome. Anything else going on with the M&P handgun?
That's it.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, regarding that segment from Smith & Wesson, I think the threaded barrel kit's a cool thing. That's nice. I like that because, you know, first of all, it's factory parts, so that's good. And, you know, hey, suppressed pistols are just so much fun. It sounded like the Smith & Wesson rep didn't really have a whole lot of new stuff other than finishes and things like that and a threaded barrel kit. But nevertheless, M&P's fine, fine pistols. I like my three that I own. And as I've mentioned many times, I love my M&P Shield 9mm with no thumb safety. But that, that whole threaded barrel kit and stuff like that, pretty good stuff. And by the way, I want to shift gears and kind of go back to that XD, that Springfield XD segment there for a minute. One thing about the Grip Zone also that I really wish that Glock would do this. I wish they would do this. It'd be a real simple modification. But there's an undercut trigger guard that on the Springfield Grip Zone. If you look at that, it gives you a lot of high relief on the pistol. What that means is when you grab the pistol with your shooting hand, your middle finger gets to ride a little higher on the grip. And that's significant. That gives you a lot of good control with the gun, and it's just more comfortable. And I wish that Glock would just undercut that. Man, even if they undercut it, an eighth to a quarter of an inch, out of the box, factory, do it at the factory. That way people don't have to go have somebody modify that. Even though it's a relatively easy process, think about it. When you modify a gun yourself, it can change the resale value of it. That's what you have to think about. And I like when gun manufacturers come out with cool stuff out of the box from the factory. That way it's like that and you don't have to change it. And that way if you resell that gun, you didn't make a modification yourself. So the new buyer tends to be a little bit more receptive to buying that gun, in my humble opinion. That's kind of what I like to say about that. Okay, well, one more thing I want to close with, and this is a relatively short show, but one thing I want to close with is getting back to the subject earlier in this episode about red dot sights on pistols. Why do it? Think about it. If you have iron sights, you have to line up both the front and the rear sights to make a precise shot. What does a red dot do for you? Well, what does a red dot do for you on an AR-15? Same benefit on a pistol. You only have one point to look at, one sight to look at, that red dot. Drop the red dot right on the target, on the bad guy, and smoothly press the trigger. That's it. For people that have older eyes, red dots are great. But it's so fast and intuitive. Again, all you're doing is just focusing on the red dot. Put the red dot where you need to go. You don't have to line up front with rear and drop that sight into the rear notch and all that. Not that you can't get good at that, because, hey, that's the way we've been shooting that way for years, right? And many people are really good at it, but the red dot kind of brings it to a whole new level. Again, why do you put a red dot on your AR-15? How come you don't just use your iron sights all the time? Same concept. Put a red dot. Consider putting a red dot sight on your pistol, or buying a pistol like Glock's new line or M&P's line that come out of the box ready for a red dot sight to be mounted on it. Okay, well, once again, many thanks to Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. Thanks for bringing us these updates. Thanks for going to SHOT Show, Paul. And with that said, folks, I want to close by saying this. I try to do the most informative show that I can do for you each week, and I try to keep it practical. I don't have commercial sponsors on purpose, because I don't like to listen to podcasts with a bunch of commercials. So if you wouldn't mind supporting my show a little bit, any way you can, that would be helpful. There's a few ways you can do that. You can sign up for one of the classes that I'm teaching this year with Ben Branham. Check the website, handgunworld.com. We might be in an area near you. We have classes scheduled right now in South Dakota, in northern Ohio, in Seattle, in Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. So check that out at handgunworld.com. You'll see right on my front page all the classes listed there. Another way you could support us is join our Shooters Club. We are going to have a new video coming up soon. Been saying that for a while, but we had a few delays. But there's going to be a new video posted on the Shooters Club. That's an exclusive membership website. For $75 a year or only $8 a month, and you can access awesome instructional videos that Ben and I have put together. And last but not least, my Amazon store. If you're going to make an Amazon purchase, if you do me a favor and go through my link at handgunworld.com first. Just go to handgunworld.com, click Amazon store. When you make an Amazon purchase that way, this show gets a little bit of a fee.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt. This is no doubt.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
All right, so that brings me to the end of this episode. Once again, thanks for listening, folks. My name is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember that the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.